Amen. Thank you so much for that excellent special number. And I want to say a special word of thank you to everyone who has participated musically. And there is yet a lot more to come, so don't worry about that. But I want to take a few moments, if you will, please take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I want to take just a few moments this evening to bring a Christmas devotional. And I brought this thought last year. I think it was in our Christmas Eve service, and I wanted to share it again with some modification on this Christmas Eve and remind us about the significance of each individual in the Lord's church. It's a wonderful thing to come together to a place which is your extended family, brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to a place where there is love, where there is warmth. And the miracle of the New Testament church is that God takes that which is very diverse. We come from different backgrounds and different economic status and all of those things. And God puts us all together in one church with one purpose, and He takes that which is diverse and unifies it so wonderfully. And that is the case of the church. And I want to draw an illustration and a picture of that and remind us of what a blessing it is to be a part of the Lord's church. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they," the teaching, the instruction of the Bible, the principles that young people learn. By the way, the greatest gift, mom and dad, that you can give to your children is instruction in the Word of God. That's the very greatest gift. And we're very thankful for many, many parents who have their children here for the services, and as you've seen, for even the special music and all of the practices and things that go on here. That is the best gift you can give them, that Xbox or Nintendo or whatever the latest thing is. I'm probably hopelessly out of date. That was last year, wasn't it? Those things will all just break down. You paid premium price, and 2 days after you bought it, you couldn't get half of what you paid for it. I understand that. But those things break down. But it is the Word of God that will endure in their hearts and will keep their lives in the right direction. That's the greatest gift you can give them. But the teaching, verse number 8, references the teaching of father and mother and the Word of God, and says that the teaching of biblical principles, verse 9, the teaching of principles, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. An ornament, a decoration. In this passage, jewelry, as it were, but something that heightens and makes the life more beautiful. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7. Proverbs 4, 7. The Bible, again, speaking about the principle of teaching our young people the Word of God, the Bible says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her," that is, exalt wisdom, "and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace." There's that phrase again. Wisdom, the principles of the Bible, will give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And then one last passage, if you will, Isaiah chapter 61, just one verse there, Isaiah 61 and verse 10. The idea so far being that the principles of the Word of God that you learn in church, you learn them in Sunday school, you learn them in Awana, you learn them in the bus ministry, the principles of the Word of God are an ornament of grace. Then, Isaiah 61, verse 10. The Bible says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments." There's the word again, with ornaments. "And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Ornaments, decorations, things that make things that are plain look more beautiful. If you look around the church tonight, the ladies have done a wonderful job in decorating for the holiday season. I love the decorations of Christmas. Some time ago, oh, this would be years ago, the lady said, "Well, Pastor, how much Christmas decor do you like?" And my answer to that is, the more the merrier. You can't ever really have too much. Well, maybe you could. I've seen a few yards that look like they've been overdone this Christmas season. But really, the more the merrier. Why? It's a happy time of year, and we decorate to make this time of year distinctive from other times of year. But I shared this with you last year, and I'm so glad that the message sunk in. because there's something that really has become a bit of a curse on our land. And we live in a time, by the way, when everything is so perfect, you know, and kind of pretentious. And today now, you know, weeks ago you decorated your Christmas tree. But there's kind of a curse on our land, and I call it the curse of the designer Christmas tree. Some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. The designer tree is that tree that you walk into Walmart or maybe some finer store, and you look at the tree, and it's all set up with all of the ornaments, and they all match perfectly. And you don't even have to think about the different ornaments or putting things together, because you can buy the whole tree. How many know you can buy a tree pre-lit? If you didn't know that, let me tell you, I highly recommend it. This year we got a pre-lit tree, and it helped to make Christmas more spiritual at the Mahdi house. You see, the problem was, I used to be the guy who put the lights on the Christmas tree, and I hated that job. I like a lot of lights, and I'd always start right at the top, and I'd wind them real tight, because the tighter you wind it, the more lights you get, you know? And I'd work my way down, and we'd run out of lights about midway through, and so then I kind of spaced them out 6 or 8 inches, you know, each row. And by the time you got to the bottom, all you had was cords. And so then when you lit it up, it was just imbalanced, and it was awful. And Kelly would say, "That looks horrible," and Christmas at that point was ruined. And I recommend the pre-lit Christmas tree. But last year we had one of these designer trees. Everything matched perfectly. I'm not really against that. But you know what it's done? It's kind of taken away some of the meaning. I preached on this last year, and my wife said to me, she got home after the service, and she said, "You know," she said, "I agree with you. We're getting rid of the designer Christmas tree." Of course, I think this was just a way to get new Christmas stuff. I'm not sure, but the designer tree had everything that matched, and to us, nothing that meant something. But I want to take you in your memory back to the days before everybody got so highfalutin. Back to the days of that old Christmas tree. How many remember that old artificial tree that had the wooden trunk painted green? And it had the wire, that each of the branches was a wire that was wrapped. And do you remember how each of those wires was painted on the tip of it a certain color? And you would match the color to the hole in the tree. How many remember this? Okay, I'm feeling old here. Good. Do you remember that? And do you remember how the paint on the tip of the wire only lasted through the first season? And then after that, every year that followed, it was up to you to guess which branch went where it went. I remember as a kid going up to the attic, and the Christmas tree was stored in that really old Christmas tree box. And every year we'd go up there and pull that thing down, and we'd open up the box. And do you remember that? How many remember that very unique artificial Christmas tree smell that would come out of the box? Anybody remember? I hope I'm bringing back some memory for you tonight. And it would kind of emanate from that box, and we'd pull all the pieces out, and you couldn't see the paint color on the ends anymore, so we'd have to line them up and pile them up and try to guess which went where. And it had been crushed from that year, and so all the needles were all crushed together. Remember, you had to kind of fluff up the needles, and you really had to work on that tree to get it to where it even remotely resembled a tree. And then you put on the lights. You know, we've changed so many things today. People feel for some odd reason that white lights are the way to go. But how many remember those beautiful multicolored lights? Does anyone still have those out there? Just somebody, those are beautiful. Someone said, "Pastor, they're so tacky." No, they were beautiful. They had all of the colors and the multicolored lights. We'd string all of those lights. And then it was time for the ornaments, the decorations. None of our ornaments had the name Martha Stewart, made in China, stamped on any of it. Our ornaments were all things that had been gathered over the years. But this is what made our Christmas tree so unique. Oh, nothing matched. You couldn't put two pieces together and say that they actually went together. But over the years, things had been gathered and put on that tree so that, well, there were some things that were new and some things that were old and some things that were actually family heirlooms. While all of those things were diverse and different, they were all put on that tree. And when you dimmed the lights and plugged in the Christmas tree. By the way, do you remember hoping that all the bulbs worked? How many remember that? How many remember that if the bulb didn't work, nothing worked? You remember? Boy, we have come a long way. Some things about technology are good, folks. Some things are helpful. You'd plug that in, and the lights would all be turned off in that room, and all of those ornaments that were so different, that didn't match, that were not manufactured by the same company and were not chosen by the designer's eye, all of those ornaments so different, when the lights went out and the tree lights came on, it all mingled together to make for you the most beautiful tree you had ever seen. Now, in reality, nothing matched. But with the lights on and all the beauty of those ornaments sparkling in the night, you thought that was the most beautiful thing you'd ever seen. Do you know the church of the Lord Jesus is very much like that old-fashioned Christmas tree? You have different ornaments, ornaments of grace, people that gather together in the Lord's church because they've been saved by Christ's grace, ornaments of grace that come here from all different backgrounds and all different education levels and all different family background. Ornaments of grace that all come together, and though very different from one another, when we're put together in the Lord's church, somehow in that diverse atmosphere, all of it makes perfect sense. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that every one of us who is a member of the Lord's church is here with a special job and a special place. And I want to liken the members of the church briefly tonight to the ornaments that appeared on that old Christmas tree that we had growing up. We had a lot of old ornaments on the tree. We passed them down from year to year, and my mother was fortunate enough to get ornaments that actually were owned by her mother. And some of the ornaments from the grandparents had grown tarnished over the years. They were very fragile. Some of them had lost a piece or two, or some of the sparkle had come off. They were, in some ways, they were imperfect because they were the old ornaments. They weren't like the brand new ones, mass-produced and quality-controlled with a limited lifetime warranty. They didn't have any of that back then. But they were precious because those ornaments had appeared on that tree year after year. And it wouldn't seem like Christmas if you couldn't open up that box and take out those that you wrapped in precious tissue paper and hung on the tree. And year after year, though they'd grown tarnished and certainly they were showing their age, it wouldn't be Christmas without them. The Lord has assembled in His church a good number of older saints for whom it wouldn't be Christmas for us without them. They are the members of this church that add the character. They are the members of this church that have been for years the backbone of this place. And year after year after year, they're always in their place, and if there ever comes a time when they're not, we would miss them dearly. They are ornaments of the Lord's grace. They are our older members. For some of us on our tree, there are always a couple of ornaments that are expensive ornaments. Now, we didn't have many of these growing up. We had a little ornament that was 24 karat gold. Now, before you get excited, it was electroplate. It was the shiniest thing on the tree. And I suppose probably the most expensive. We didn't have many of these, but we always hung that in a place of prominence on that old-fashioned Christmas tree. You know what the Lord's done with His church? He's brought some folks like that into His church. Some people that He's blessed materially and that He has blessed culturally. And He's brought some into the church. They are part of the church and they bless the church over and over again. There are also the new ornaments. And I love the new ornaments. You say, Pastor, who are the new ornaments? They're the new believers that come into the church. Thank God, by the way, for the number of people that were saved here in 2007. Thank God for that. And some of them come from a background completely unsaved. They don't know anything much about Christianity, and yet they're here as part of this church. And those new ornaments add something that nothing else can match. It's a blessing to have had folks join our church this year. Some newly saved who trusted Christ as their Savior. One of my favorite, you know, when you get someone brand new saved, you never can tell exactly what they're going to do. And I love that about new Christians. You know, they haven't learned everything yet. I remember, all of you will remember David, who's down at Ambassador Baptist College now. David, he got saved from a completely unsaved background. First time he ever walked through the doors of this church, he said to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I want you to know something up front. I am an atheist." So he came into the doors of the church, said he was announced his lack of religion, and said, "I'm an atheist." I said, "Atheists are welcome." I said, "You'll have a good time. You listen closely." And he did. Several services later, this young man received Christ as his personal Savior. And what a thrill to watch him grow in Christ. But I'll never forget the first time he wanted to join the choir. He wanted to join so badly. We said, "David, come up to the choir." And we set him right next to me. He said, "Why, preacher? So you could teach him how to sing?" Oh, are you kidding? I don't know how to sing. He was next to me so I could keep him under control. Who said amen out there? Someone shouted. Was that you, Jim? It's awful. I wanted him next to me so I could keep my thumb on him just in case, because he didn't know anything. You know, I was going to help him know when to stand, know when to sit, and all of these things. And boy, the first he came to a couple practices, and then the first Sunday morning came when he was going to sing in the choir, and he was sitting next to me, and he was visibly nervous. The boy was shaking just a little bit, and I said, "David," I said, "calm down, it'll be okay." This was before the service started. He was shaking a little bit. The crowd place filled up with people, and I'll never forget this. I believe it was Pastor Falls at that time. Pastor Falls said to the choir to stand like this, and so I kind of hit him like this, and he stood up like this. And he knew we were about to sing, and he leaned over and he whispered nervously in my ear. He said, "Preacher, it's time to rock." Needless to say, I could not sing during that choir number. Too busy laughing. Those new ornaments, they add so much. We've had some people saved here in recent days in our church, some folks that this church has prayed for a long time. Phil's back there. We prayed for him for a long time. Others that have been saved recently. The new ornaments mean so much. They are ornaments of grace. And then on our tree, I don't know about yours, but that old-fashioned tree, our tree had a lot of the common ornaments. That includes most of us. I think I would be classed as just a common ornament. I remember one year my mother got this idea in her head that we were going to have, quote-unquote, an old-fashioned Christmas. So we were going to put our same decorations up as always, but in addition, rather than having the tinsel you know what I'm talking about, that stuff that runs around in big ropes, you know what I'm talking about, rather than have that, Mom decided we were going to string, this is just painful as I think back on the memory, string popcorn and cranberries into ropes. Has anyone here ever done that? Let me tell you something, folks. It's hard to string popcorn. You end up with bloody popcorn. You poke your finger with a needle, and it's just not an attractive thing. I don't recommend you do this at home. But we had the popcorn and the pretty cranberries and all that. And then Mom decided we were gonna bake cookies that year, and so she baked all these gingerbread cookies, and she let us decorate them. There were stars, and there were little sleighs, and there were probably a Santa thrown in, and there were the gingerbread men, all of these different shapes. She had all of these, and she gave us icing. You know, we were just little kids, gave us icing. We decorated each cookie. Then Mom took the needle and thread again. It's even worse when you get blood on the gingerbread cookies. And she made a little string through there, and we hung each cookie beautifully on this tree. And I remember as kids, my brother and I, we were just probably 10 years old, and we looked at that and thought, wow, with all the other decorations, all those cookies, everything, so beautiful. My mom and my twin brother and I, we went somewhere, and our older brother, John, came home. Now, John was 14 years older than us, and so he would have nothing to do with decorating the Christmas tree. I understand he was too mature for that. But he came home, and he noticed something different. He noticed cookies on the Christmas tree. Well, John decided that he'd have a hand at decorating too. So my older brother walked up to that tree. None of us saw him do it. We only saw the result. And John took one big bite out of every cookie on that tree and left them hanging there with a huge bite mark taken out. My brother John didn't have a very good Christmas that year. Let me tell you something. Mom didn't care for that. Those are the common ornaments. The Lord's church is made up of the common folks. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God's brought us all here as common people. And then another type of ornament that gathers here in the Lord's church is this, the broken ornaments. Why, thank God that He loves the broken ornaments. We had a little box, several boxes of ornaments that were very fragile. And every year we'd wrap those in tissue paper very carefully and put them away, and we'd put them in a place in the attic where we'd think they would be safe. But every year it seemed that something happened. You know, we weren't up in the attic messing around with them, but it appeared that something would happen. And every year I remember opening those boxes, and you almost held your breath to see, did that ornament make it through another year? And sometimes a piece would have fallen off. Some of the library paste would have dried off of the popsicle stick ornament that one of us had made when we were little, and the pieces would have fallen off. You say, "Preacher, what did you do? You opened the box and you saw that it was broken. Did you just throw it away?" No, certainly not. There was something in me as a kid that couldn't throw away a broken ornament. It was part of my upbringing that ornament had been there on the tree every year, and just because a piece fell off didn't make it any less valuable. And so we had every year some ornaments on our tree that if you looked closely at them, you saw that they were broken. The absolute same is true of the Lord's church. The Lord Jesus has never thrown away an ornament of His grace. Every one of us, when we come to Christ, we come to Him as a broken people. We come to Him with things in our background that are not perhaps the most glittering and beautiful. We come to Him with heartbreak. Some of us are broken by physical illness. All of us know what it is to be broken by sin. Can I assure you of something, church? The Lord Jesus never throws away a broken ornament. Those ornaments are loved and cared for. We would place them on the tree and make sure we got the hook just so that they couldn't possibly fall. And if you look closely, they were broken, but they were never thrown away. The Lord knows of no throwaway people. That phrase, throwaway people, that's used today to describe people that come from the other side of the tracks, or people who've had a rough life, or people that have allowed the world to kind of bulldoze into their life and take over and destroy them. With God, there are no throwaway people, but many are ornaments of His grace. And then there were ours on our tree, some tarnished ornaments. The older ones didn't have the protective epoxy paint that kept the shine from year after year, and you couldn't really polish them because they were so fragile. So year after year, as they'd hang on the tree, they'd have just a little bit of tarnish. The Lord's church has some of these. Sin has left its mark on each one of us. When we come to Christ, we don't come to Him as perfect and good people. We come to Him as very imperfect, very tarnished by sin. Luke chapter 7 tells us the story of the sinful woman who came to Jesus. And the Pharisee was shocked that Jesus would receive worship of her. And Jesus received her worship, and He received her love and her adoration. And the Pharisee was shocked. How can you have this sinful woman in your presence? The Lord has never turned away those of us who are tarnished in sin and by sin. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But probably the most important ornament on the tree, there's no real word to describe it, and we had these on our old-fashioned Christmas tree back home. The most important ornament on the tree is what I call the heart ornament, or the ornament from the heart. These are those little ornaments that are made by a child in Sunday school or at school in class somewhere. They're precious not because of what they're made of, and not for the perfection of their creation and their manufacture, for there's many defects in them, but they're precious for memory's sake. I remember as a boy growing up, we had such an ornament. One of us, I suppose myself or my twin brother, had made it. It was a photograph of our family, mom and dad, my older brother, my twin brother, and myself, all together in this photograph. I remember the big smile that was on our faces as we posed for the picture. I don't even know who took the picture. But the whole family was included. And we had someone, one of us, had taken little popsicle sticks and made the frame and kind of glued that all together and put it all together. And we'd hang that on the tree every year. I remember the Christmas of 1979 rolled around, and my dad had just passed away a couple months previous in October of that year. And I remember opening the box with that ornament as a young man, about 12 years old, and I took out the ornament, and I remember looking at it. A piece had fallen off one of the popsicle sticks. It was old now. And I remember hanging it in a place of prominence on that little old-fashioned Christmas tree in 1979. I remember looking at the picture of the family all together and the picture of my dad smiling on that ornament. And for a moment, this young man who was bereaved of his father, who had only been dead since early October, I thought about happier times. To most people, that ornament would be worth absolutely nothing. But to me, that ornament was priceless. The Lord takes us and receives us into His church just as we are. The Lord has in this church some trophies of His grace, some ornaments of the heart, some people who have come to Christ through difficult circumstances, and they've turned to Him in desperation and found Him able to meet their every need. It was shortly after the experience of hanging that ornament on the tree that I found Christ as my personal Savior. And the tears that were shed over my dad's death later became tears of joy in knowing Christ. I'll never forget the godly Christian school teacher who one day took me aside with his Bible. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. He was familiar with the fact that I didn't have a dad, and he took me aside with his Bible, godly Christian school teacher. And he opened up the Bible and showed me a verse where the Bible says that God becomes the father to the fatherless. And I'll never forget how I thought about that, and how I understood that it was God that had worked sovereignly in the circumstances of my life to bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord's tree has some ornaments of the heart. I wonder tonight, are you part of what I've described? The church, I've likened it to the Lord's tree. Are you part of His family this evening? I remember as a young man not knowing about eternity, not certain where I would spend eternity. Pastor, would you think about that as a 12-year-old boy? When you watch your dad pass away, you think about things like that. The question came, will I ever see him again? The question came, is there life after death? The question came, what about God and where is God in the circumstances of life? And the answer is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Have you experienced the love of Christ? If not, then tonight we'd encourage you to experience that love, to become an ornament of His grace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray You'll take the simple message tonight and help us as we marvel at the miracle of the Lord's church. And You're putting together so many from such a diverse background. We marvel at that and we praise You for it. But Father, tonight we especially pray for any in our midst that do not know Christ. Help them, Lord, to trust Him as their Savior. If there is anyone that needs to make that decision tonight, Spirit of God, we pray You'll work in their heart right now and help them to trust in Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around.